Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to 2 Chronicles, chapter 8. Second Chronicles, chapter 8, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, wherein Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which Huram had restored to Solomon, Solomon built them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. And Solomon went to Hamath-zobah and prevailed against it. And he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities which he built in Hamath. Also he built Beth-horon the upper and Beth-horon the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars, and Baalat, and all the store cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities, and the cities of the horsemen, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and throughout all the land of his dominion. As for all the people that were left of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which were not of Israel, but of their children who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel consumed not, them did Solomon make to pay tribute until this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work, but they were men of war, and chief of his captains, and captains of his chariots and horsemen. And these were the chief of King Solomon's officers, even 250, that bear rule over the people. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her, for he said, My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the porch, even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even in the feast of unleavened bread and in the feast of weeks and in the feast of tabernacles. And he appointed according to the order of David his father the courses of the priests to their service, and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests as the duty of every day required. The porters also by their courses at every gate, for so had David the man of God commanded. And they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was finished, so the house of the Lord was perfected. Then went Solomon to Ezion-Geber and to Elath at the seaside in the land of Edom, and Huram sent him by the hands of his servants ships, and servants that had knowledge of the sea. And they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir, and took thence 450 talents of gold, and brought them to King Solomon. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. In verses 1 through 6, we have Solomon's wise provision as a king over his kingdom. So notice what we see here. We see, first of all, that there were those cities that Solomon had given to Hiram. Hiram came to see them and said, I don't like them much. And so Solomon took them back so that they would be well-managed, well-ruled. They came under his dominion once again, and he fortified them. He set them up as cities that could be made use of. He made them profitable cities. Solomon built them, caused the children of Israel to dwell there. So the folks of Tyre were displaced. Unless they wanted to stay and become, co-inhabitors with the children of Israel that dwelt in those cities. So notice that Solomon moves people around as a king. Secondly, he went to Hamath-Zobah and prevailed against it. So there was another city within his dominion that posed a threat. And so not only did he care for those cities that came back to him, but he ruled over those cities that were threatening to him by stirring himself up. And we'll notice that Solomon was put in that position as king of Israel because he was not a man of war, and yet when it was necessary for him to be a man of war, he stirred himself up and protected his kingdom. Then third, notice we see that he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities which he built in Hamath. And so notice that Solomon is a forward-looking king. He puts up goods and things that the nation will need eventually. Store cities. You know, Solomon is a reader of Scripture. Solomon perhaps knew of the story of Joseph in Genesis and the grain that he put up against times of famine and difficulty. And so there were store cities in the wilderness, not only, I believe, for food, but as we will see, there were armories also, store cities that were set up for armaments that were put up by Solomon as well. And so Solomon was a wise king in the defense of his kingdom. Notice also he built Beth Horon the upper and Beth Horon the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars. And so he built those cities for the defense of the nations, and then Baalat and chariot cities and so on, horsemen and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, Lebanon, throughout all the land of his dominion. So Solomon used every portion of his dominion, and he made use of it for the perpetuation of that dominion. If we were preaching through this passage, which would be fun to do someday, we would draw those parallels as to the greater Solomon, Jesus Christ, and how he has placed up store cities, and how he has placed up defense cities, and how he has protected his kingdom, and how he has provided for his kingdom, and so on. Those are parallels that are indeed appropriate for us to meditate on as the people of God. All right, so now we come to verses 7 through 10, and we have the remnant of the Canaanites that are left in the land. Notice that Solomon does not destroy them. I believe that while some commentators might disagree with me, I believe that this is an anticipation of the kingdom of Christ, that it would be made up of all kinds. And so they become servants to Solomon, hewers of wood, drawers of water, servants in his kingdom and for his kingdom's sake. Notice that they did not serve in the army. They didn't serve in the army. There's wisdom involved here. But instead of being put to the sword, they were allowed to become faithful in Israel by serving the interests of the king. And so we might see this as an uncommon kindness to them. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work, but they were men of war, and besides being men of war, they were also able to take care of their own interests, their farms, their families, and so on. The Bible doesn't really speak too much of a standing army, although there are those that need, for the sake of continuity, to be a part of a small standing force. The army of Israel was more a national force, like we would call a militia today, a state force, where those men were under these different captains, taking care of their own homes and families. They would get together from time to time and train together under those men that were the persistent officers that provided the continuity of the training and the strategy and the warfare and the maintenance of all of the equipment for the war that would have been necessary. So that's the biblical idea of a national defense. All right, so then in this curious verse 11, that Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David. My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. What does that mean? Why is that thrown there in the middle of this? Well, we understand that Solomon had a concern for holiness, even if it was contrary to the concern of his family. Think of that for a moment. The daughter of Pharaoh. Now, there are some scholars that believe that this daughter of Pharaoh was indeed a proselyte, that she had become a believer in the true God. But as the daughter of Pharaoh, we have seen this before, she would not have come out of Egypt alone. She would have come with many servants and attendants who attended upon her. And perhaps her entourage, as it were not believers. Perhaps they were still imbibing in some of the religious practices or beliefs in the land of Egypt, or of the land of Egypt. We know that this was a weakness in Solomon's kingdom, but we also want to make sure and notice that it was not as weak as it could have been to his kingdom, because Solomon kept an eye toward holiness, at least thus far. We will realize by the end of the reading of the next chapter that none of Solomon's apostasy is ever mentioned here in 2 Chronicles. It is only mentioned in the book of the Kings. And this is because the aim of 2 Chronicles is to teach us about the worship of God and the temple of God rather than the ins and outs of every particular Judahite king. But notice that Solomon does have a concern for the appearances and the holiness of the house of David and so on. And so she does not live in that house. She lives in a separate house that Solomon had built for her and her attendants that came with her out of Egypt. All right, so then we have Solomon's practice of religion. And his practice is indeed faithful, at least as it is described here. It is according to the teaching of Moses, so every Sabbath day, and then on the new moons and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, weeks, and tabernacles, according to Moses. And we might add Moses, the man of God, that is Moses, the prophet. Because a little bit later, we're going to hear that there were other things that were commanded by, quote, David, the man of God, that is David, the prophet. That's what that title means. It means the prophet. And so notice that Solomon here keeps the commandments of Moses in his religious observance. And what are the commandments of Moses for the Old Testament saints for that church under age? They had their Sabbaths. Now, their Sabbaths not only limited to one day a week, they had other Sabbaths that some of those feasts that are mentioned here were called. Days that were associated with those special days were also called Sabbaths, no matter what day of the week they fell on, because they were a day of holy convocation and resting from other labor. And then we have certain things that are named, the new moons, the solemn feasts, and then those three feasts of the year that were mentioned. Okay, so that was the commandment of Moses. Then we have the commandment of David. He appointed, according to the order of David, his father, the courses of the priests to their service. Now that the temple is built and put into service, Solomon continues to follow the men of God in the commandments. Now here we are on December 21st. I'd be remiss if I didn't say anything about where's the commandment of the man of God to celebrate other holy days than what we have in the days of the New Testament. Well, beloved, there is no word from the man of God. And so we don't do that. That's it. It really is that simple. So all of the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was finished, so the house of the Lord was perfected. That's a great use of that word, perfected. It was brought to its full use. Was it a perfect house? We know it was not a perfect house. It was built to be torn down, wasn't it? It was not a perfect house, but it was brought to its full use in that day, in the days of Solomon. Finally, then, we have Solomon's relation to the rest of the world. And notice how much attention that gets. Think of the news today, beloved. How much attention does foreign affairs get in the news? Quite a bit, we might imagine. How much attention do foreign affairs get in this description of Solomon's kingdom? Two verses out of 18. Right? Two verses out of 18. Why? Let's remember why. Because the Lord is concerned about his church, as we said earlier. So then, what do we have? We have Solomon going to Ezion-Geber and to Elath at the seaside in the land of Edom. This is all the way south, way south. and that little arm of water that comes up, right? And then from there, we have his relations with Hiram. And so notice that although Hiram didn't like those cities, Solomon took them back, that he maintained friendly relations with those nations around him, that he might indeed have commerce with them, but not just commerce, right? Because even in those days, there were those glimmers of the gospel going to the whole wide world. And Solomon is indeed a type of Christ. Well, we have 450 talents of gold, and they brought them to King Solomon out of Ophir. But in the next chapter, Lord willing, as we move on, we'll see that every year Solomon retained a certain amount of gold from the nations around him. Does anybody remember what that number is? 666 talents of gold, year by year, coming to King Solomon. And we'll talk about converting that into a modern understanding, Lord willing, next hour. With that then, let's stand and continue.